Greening Law presents For Our Kids Legal Podcast, starring Robert L. Greening and moderated by Jordan Pryor.
Hello, everyone. My name is Jordan Pryor, and with me is attorney Robert Greening, and you're listening to For Our Kids Legal Podcast. This is our second episode so far, and we have some really encouraging reviews. So let's get right into it today. Our topic is teen drivers, all that you need to know. So what are the six laws pertaining to drivers under 21?
So in Texas, there's six sort of laws that apply to underage drivers, not just teens, but anybody under 21. So let's run through those real quick, because some of them you know and some of them you may not know. And I just had a quick review of this myself because my daughter just started driving, just turned 16, and these were all things that we needed to know about for her to get her driver's license. So the first thing is there's a minimum 6-month requirement to have a learner's permit before you can get a full-fledged driver's license in Texas. So you have to go through a 6-month sort of what probationary period. It's called a learner's permit, and you have to drive with a driver over 21 and get a lot of experience behind the wheel for 6 months before you can get your license. Number two, the Texas Department of Public Safety really enforces the law in Texas that says that if you're under 18, you can't buy, possess, consume, or receive tobacco products. So if you're caught doing that or having those tobacco products, then the Texas, and you get pulled over and you've got those products, tobacco products, and you're under 18, the Texas Department of Public Safety makes you go through a tobacco awareness program, and you have to complete it within 90 days of getting convicted of having tobacco products, or you, I guess, potentially could lose your driver's license. So they really are stressing the importance of not consuming or possessing tobacco products if you're under 18. The third thing is there's a zero tolerance policy in Texas for any driver under 21 who has any alcohol in their system whatsoever. You know, as we all know, there's a legal limit for people over 21 and over for having alcohol in their bloodstream. But in Texas, if you're under 21 and you have any alcohol in your blood whatsoever, zero tolerance policy, you will be arrested for that. And a first offense, open container conviction, for instance, if you have an open container in your car, open container of alcohol in your car, and you're under 21, it can result in a fine of up to $2,000 and as long as 6 months in jail. And it can also mean suspension of your driver's license and for up to a full year. So bottom line, not if you're under 21, well, you shouldn't be drinking anyway because you're under 21. And certainly if you do drink and you're under 21, you better not get behind the wheel, because any amount of alcohol in your bloodstream at all, you will be arrested if you're pulled over. Number four, there is also a requirement by the Texas Department of Public Safety that underage drivers must take this course called Impact Texas Teen Drivers Program. And what it is it educates drivers about distracted driving. And that's a requirement that must be taken. I think it's a 2-hour video that must be completed before you can get your driver's license. The fifth thing is, some people may not know that if you're under 16, there are certain times you can get a hardship license and get your driver's license before you're 16. You have to show that the failure to issue a driver's license to somebody under 16 would create an unusual economic hardship for the family. So that's something good for people to know. If you need to have a driver in your household that's under 16 for financial reasons. One other law that you may not be aware of is that if you are under 18, you can only have one other passenger in the car with you that's under 21. So gone are the days when you're 16, you get your driver's license, and you go pick up all your friends and drive them around. You can only have one other friend in the car with you that's under 21, unless they're a family member. That is the law of the land here in Texas. So there's pretty strict laws about driving when you're under 18 in Texas, and some that apply if you're under 21. Texas Department of Public Safety considers it a privilege to drive and not a right. So you really need to be aware of those laws and make sure that your children know about what those laws are and follow them.
I think it's funny that last one that you mentioned, my mom used to get on me all the time for that back in high school, because that's been a law for a while. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so some of us do a better job of following it than others, but... So we're just going to move on to the next question. Right. And this is just in case, you know, you have a teen or a driver under 21 that gets into an accident. What is the proper protocol whenever a driver is in a wreck? What steps should they follow?
So it's really the same protocol for a teen driver, let's say, that gets in a wreck as anybody that gets in a wreck. But I think one thing that's different is I would tell my children to call me, or, you know, call a parent. First, so that if the parent's close by, if the adult's close by, they can get to the scene of the accident and sort of be the adult to help out. You do want to teach your children to be self-sufficient and self-reliant, but a 16-year-old, 17-year-old that gets in a wreck, I think it's a good idea if the parent's close by, if the parent is close by, to be there and help out. If the parent's not around or they're far away from home, then obviously these are things that every driver needs to do at the scene of a wreck. The first thing is, if you're hurt or if you believe somebody else is hurt, call 911 immediately. Most people have phones, most teens have phones. Call 911, get an ambulance there. That's the first thing. The second thing is get the police there, so that the police can be there to document everything that happened. The third thing is exchange information if you're able to. If everybody's able to get out of the cars and they're not catastrophically hurt, exchange information. What I mean by that is exchange the insurance information. Make sure that the car that your child is driving in has the proper insurance card in the glove box, so that they know to go to that glove box to get the insurance information. And then make sure they know to exchange insurance information with the other person. What I always tell people is, you know, most teens have phones, so take a picture of the insurance card. Get the person who hit you to give you the insurance card so that you can take a picture of it. If they don't want to and they just want to tell you and have you write it down, that's kind of dangerous sometimes, because you never know if somebody's telling you the truth or not. Mm-hmm. So you can just instruct your teen to say, look, I don't have a pen, or, you know, my handwriting's not that great. I would rather just take a picture. It's quicker, it's faster. And most people will think that's normal and okay. So just take a snapshot and make sure that the picture comes out on your phone and that it's legible before you move on to something else. Then the other thing is, get the names and telephone numbers of any witnesses that saw what happened, so that if there is litigation later or a claim is made later, you've got those people's names and numbers. Also, I always tell people, and you need to tell your kids this, don't make any sort of admissions at the scene of the accident. If you think it's your fault, it may not be your fault. So just don't make admissions about anything at the scene of the accident to the other party. Obviously, if the police are questioning you about what happened, you have to tell the truth to the police. And I'm not telling you to tell your children not to tell the truth to the other party, but it's just not a good idea to blurt out things that may not really be true, because you've just said it in the spur of the moment. So it's better to just be pretty tight-lipped to the person that hit you or that you hit, because you just don't want any kind of admissions made that were made in the heat of a moment or something like that. So that's really the main things you ought to do at the scene of an accident.
Okay. What happens if the driver who hit you drives off? like a hit and run.
So if the driver hits your child or hits you or hits your child, I mean, these are things, today's all about what to tell your kid, right, that's driving around. If somebody hits your kid and they run off from the scene, they drive off from the scene, assuming your child's not catastrophically hurt, the main thing they can do is if they see that the person is going to leave the scene, jot down their license plate number or get the phone out real quick and try to take a picture of the car so that you have the license plate. Then those people can be tracked down that way. But don't ever go chasing after the person that's fleeing the scene. That's not a good idea. I mean, accidents happen when you're chasing somebody else, and that's not a good idea. So I would not do that. Main thing is just try to get the license number as best you can, using your phone or write it down.
Okay. Likewise, because I know I had an issue with this, the first car wreck I got into in high school. What happens if the person who hit you doesn't want you to call the police and is like very vocal about it?
So a lot of times people say that, don't call the police, I'll just take care of this, I don't want my insurance rates to go up. They also say, I'm not going to give you my insurance information because, you know, let's just take care of this between us, that kind of thing. You know, politely, you can say, here's what I tell my children in an uncomfortable situation like that. I always tell my children, well, make me the bad guy. So tell your child, well, my dad said, or my mom said, or my grandmother said, or whoever their caregiver is said, that I have to get a picture of your insurance card. And I've also been told I have to call the police if I'm in a wreck. So make the parent or the guardian the bad guy is the best advice I would have to that. And what are they going to do? They're going to argue with the child about that, but the child has a great out by just saying, my mom said I have to call the police.
So. All right. And lastly, so let's say a teen driver is hit, but it's apparent that they were driving distracted. So like, you know, texting and driving, whatever it might be, but they're not at fault. Does that still affect their liability claim?
Probably, because I mean, the main thing is don't text and drive. Don't look at your phone. I mean, I always tell my kids, do not touch your phone when you're in the car. The phone needs to be in your glove box so that you are not even tempted to look at your phone or touch it while you're driving. But if that happens and a child is talking on their phone that's not hands-free or texting on their phone and they get in an accident, any accident that anybody's in, whether it be a teen or an adult, the phone records are always retrieved by both sides to see if somebody was on the phone. And if you are on the phone, even if the accident's not your fault, they're going to try to say on the other side of the claim that you were distracted in some way and that's what caused the accident. And even if you're not at fault, it's just not a good fact to have in your claim. Number one. Number two, it's just not good for your kids to be on their phone, touching their phone, doing anything with their phone while they're driving, period, because that's how you get hurt.
All right. All right. Well, thank you guys for listening. This has been For Our Kids Legal Podcast. Before you go, don't forget to follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Greening Law PC for all platforms. We hope you have a great day, and we'll see you again in 2 weeks.
Thank you.